Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone?
Great.
Could not ask for a more beautiful Easter, huh? Maybe. I don't know. For all you snow lovers, maybe so, but I'm liking the weather. Why don't we pray, and then we will open our Bibles and get to work. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you that we see your power, and your creativity, and your creation, and the beauty that surrounds us. Thank you, God, that we can remember today, like every Sunday, like every day, that Jesus rose from the dead. And we are here together to celebrate that and to thank you for that, and to celebrate the hope that that brings to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, welcome to Resurrection Sunday. Although every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper and remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you could say every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, but every Sunday you don't get candy and eggs, so. I just realized what the yellow thing was there in the window. It had, when I was setting up, I'm like, what is that? Somebody left a yellow ball. It's an Easter egg. Anyway, maybe there's candy. You can get it afterwards. So, we're going to talk today about hope, because if there's one word that you could associate with resurrection, with the resurrection of Jesus, aside from life, obviously, I think hope would be in the running. I think it would be one of the top two, three, four, five. It's a big part of what the resurrection means and is and gives us. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, so if you want to flip over there, we'll be getting there in a moment and then just kind of landing there for the rest of our time. And the idea, the kind of the premise that we're going to work through from this text is that if you believe in Jesus, and especially if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you've given yourself to Him and said, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, you've repented and been baptized, you've made that decision to follow Him, you've entered into the life that is in Jesus, then you should be the most hopeful person. You should be the happiest person. You should be the most positive person. And I think our text today tells us why. To back up before we get there, the problem is that we need hope, because many times we don't live with a great deal of hope in our lives. Many times we don't have a lot of, we go through life without a lot of hope, just in general, in specific moments and in the eternity. We need hope, and we don't have it many times. We don't have hope inside. You know, we smile on the outside, but many times inside, we don't feel like life really is going to be better. Something good happens, and you wait for what? The other shoe to drop? You know, something good happened. That's just set it up. Now something bad's going to happen. Well, we don't always live with hope. We don't always have hope that our future is secure. We worry about the future because we know something could happen, and then it's all just kind of blowing, and who knows what will happen with my retirement and the rest of my life. And we don't have hope many times that others will love us. That's why we so desperately look for other people's approval and their love, and them to say, hey, you're worth something. We go through life many times without hope that our life will mean anything when we're done and when we're gone. And we live because of that, because we don't have hope many times, we live with fear. We live with fear when we look towards the future. We live with fear that something bad is going to happen. We live with fear that, does my life even make sense? Am I going to look back someday and say, that just didn't, why? Did I waste my life? When we live without hope, we treat other people poorly. You could see my lack of hope by how I treat my wife and my children. When I push them and manipulate them to get what I want, when I get worried about me and what's happening in my day as opposed to what's happening in their day and the day of other people around me, when I'm focused on me, when I'm selfish, when you and I are selfish, that's just a sign that we don't have hope, because we're trying to desperately grab on to what is ours and what we can get. And we go through so much of our life stressed out and tense. Why? Well, because we don't have as much hope as we should have if we really believed in the risen Christ the way that we say we do. That's why we worry. because we don't have hope that our future, even the future later today, is secure. That's why we get angry and stressed out and negative. It's living without hope. And in our text today, look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15:12. We're going to jump around through this, but we're going to kind of look from like 1 through 34 as we go through this morning. But let's start with verse 12. Because Paul is describing, in the midst of describing why the resurrection gives us hope, he talks about how we can live without that. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So some of them said, well, that didn't happen. I mean, we like the candy, we like the eggs, we like, but Jesus didn't rise from, a person can't rise from the dead. And even if you say, well, no, I don't believe that. I believe he did rise from the dead. Many times we live our lives in such a way that, well, it doesn't look like we have the hope that would come with believing that. And people who believe in Jesus should be the most positive and happy people in the world. Why? As the text will continue to tell us, look back at verse 1. Because Jesus' resurrection gives us that hope. Jesus' resurrection gives us true and complete hope as we go through life. Hope of happiness, being happy in God. Hope of security in this life and the next. That our hands, that our lives are in the hands of the all-powerful God who raised his Son from the dead. Hope of love, of being loved completely by God. The resurrection gives us hope. That's why, look back at verse 1, that was the core of the message that they taught in the New Testament times and that we teach. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. That's the good news. Now remember that phrase, the good news. I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. And then he's going to say what this good news is. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. The resurrection of Jesus was the core, is the core, is the center of this message. It is called the good news. Why is it good news? Because it gives us hope. Our what we believe about Jesus and about God is built on the fact that we believe Jesus rose from the dead, because the resurrection gives us hope. Look down at verse 17, or 13, I'm sorry. Remember, we just read verse 12 where it said, some of you believe that there is no resurrection from the dead. And then he's going to draw out this like little logical argument and say basically, okay, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, here is what we have or don't have. And what he's going to describe is a lack of hope. And by doing that, by doing it on the negative side, he's also saying the base, the foundation of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus. Let's look at what he says. That if there is no resurrection from the dead, verse 13, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain. So we get up this morning to talk about Jesus and to think about Jesus and to sing to Jesus. Well, if he's dead, then none of that matters. In fact, it's kind of silly. And if we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are in your sins. So there's no hope. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. There's no hope. There's no hope in this life, at least for a relationship with God. You could say all the prayers you want. You could sing all the songs you want. You could read the Bible all you want, but you're reading about and singing to and praying to a dead person. No hope in that. There's no true hope of a greater being who is actively involved in your life and who loves you like a child. No hope of that, because our hope and our belief is built on Jesus rising from the dead. If that's not there, then what is there? Teaching about it, thinking about it, basing our life around it, well, there's nothing. So if you flip what Paul is saying, if you say the opposite of what he's saying, if you say, well, if that's true, then this also is true, then you could also say, if you could say in the resurrection, without the resurrection, we have nothing, no hope, then in the resurrection, or because of the resurrection, through the resurrection, we have complete and true and real hope. And it's a hope that is secure. That's what he's going to go on and now just hit on point after point as he goes through this. Look in verse 20. It's secure because it happened. That's what he's going to say now. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Jesus did rise from the dead. And then he goes and, well, not then. He actually did this earlier. I'm jumping around throughout here, but it's one big thought. Go back to verse 5. Now, he just said Jesus rose from the dead. And he's trying to tell us that our faith and our hope in Jesus rising from the dead is real and sure. It's something that actually happened. And he did what you would do. Well, now you would say, let me show you on YouTube. Let me show you the video. I have the video. I see he went in and then he came out and now he's not there. That would be kind of proof. Although you could doctor the videos, but that's how we prove things. You know, see, it happened. Look, the cat did that. And this is how he, in his day, because they didn't have the phones and the videos and the YouTube. So here, this is how he could reach back. The best way that he could say, listen, it really happened. Look at verse 5. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and this is it, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to the 12, I'm sorry, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all is to one untimely born. He appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, although not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was them, I, or they, as we preach, and so you believed. What are you saying? He's saying, here's the proof. To those people in that time. See, it doesn't really work for us because we can't go back and talk to them. But he says he appeared to all these people, hundreds of people, most of whom are still alive. What's he saying? You could talk to them. You couldn't pick up the phone, but you could make a little trip and you could talk to people, person after person after person, who said, yeah, I saw him. I spoke with him. He taught me after he rose from the dead. I saw him with my own two eyes. I touched him. He was offering proof. It really happened. Our hope in Jesus rising from the dead is secure. And you say, well, how does that make it secure for me? I can't go talk to them. No, but these were people who he offered up as witnesses at this time. And some of them, the apostles, many of them gave their lives. And many of the new Christians ended up giving their lives because they had put their faith in the God who rose from the dead. And there is something powerfully convincing about someone who is willing to give their life for what they say they saw and what they believe. The resurrection is assured. Look at verse 21 and 22. It's assured and it's for everyone. This hope is not for us just some, it's for everyone. In 21, for as by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so he goes back to the beginning of the story of the world, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. It's for everyone. There are no limits or barriers to who can enter into this hope. And he did it with power, he's going to go on and say. He shows God's power by rising from the dead. That's why we can put our hope and base our hope on his resurrection. Look at verse 23. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then is coming those who belong to Christ. So Jesus rose from the dead, then we will rise from the dead. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he has accepted that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will be subjected to him who put all things in subjection to him, that God may be all in all. Gets complicated when he is explaining it, but here's the summary, the snapshot. God is all powerful, and Jesus, after God, is all powerful. And so God put everything under Jesus' authority. Jesus overcame death, thereby defeating the main enemy of mankind. He overcame death, and then he put everything under God, and God put everything over him, and God is all in all. God establishes and shows, demonstrates his power by overcoming death and Satan and sin in the resurrection. There is certain and complete and true hope in the resurrection. That's the message of the resurrection. There's hope. So what should we do as we go out today, other than eat a lot of chocolate or not? That's a personal thing. What should we do as we go out today? If there's true hope in the resurrection, what we should live in the hope of the resurrection. We should not base our lives and our hope and our, I know everything's okay and everything's going to be okay and I'm a positive person because the power of positive thinking, if I just psych myself up, we shouldn't base our hope and our being the most happy people in the world, the most hopeful people in the world, the most positive people in the world on the fact that, well, I have someone who loves me and children who love me most of the time and I have a place to live and I have food to eat and things are pretty good right now. Okay, so that's where my hope is. No, we should base our hope and live in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus rising from the dead. We should be the most positive people because we believe that our Lord and our Savior rose from the dead. So how do we live in that hope? And practically speaking, we leave today. How do we live the rest of our week in the hope of the resurrection so that next year, by the time Easter rolls around, we say, yeah, all of this year was affected by my hope in Jesus rising from the dead. First of all, we have hope of a relationship with God, an immediate relationship with God, and an eternal relationship with God. We have hope that we can call God Father. We have a certain hope. That's not a hope that you hope happens. It's something that is a promise given to you. You can be God's child. You can enter into a relationship with God at any time by giving yourself to Him and surrendering yourself to Him, by repenting and being baptized and making Jesus your Savior and your Lord. You can be close to God and be God's dearly beloved and forgiven child, and then you could speak to your Father, and you can read the Bible, and you could fast, and you can draw near to God, and we live in the hope of our relationship with God, not just an eternal relationship, but starting right now in this life by living close to God. This should not be the most that you spend time with God throughout the week. I love singing together and studying together and everything we do together, especially, I love all of this, but this should not be the majority of my time with God. I should sing to God and pray to God and read the Bible and listen to God every day as I go through the week. I should live in the hope of an immediate relationship with God. Look at verse 17. The resurrection gives us hope. Living in the power and the hope of the resurrection gives us hope of victory over sin. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still what? In your sins. Double meaning there. You're in your sins and that you are under the... You've rebelled against the King of the universe. You deserve His wrath and His punishment and you will receive it for all of eternity. You are in your sins. You are trapped by the consequences, the eternal consequences of your sins. And you're in your sins and that you can't stop. You can't change your flesh. Not on your own. You can substitute things and make things a little better, but you can't become a new person on your own. And in Jesus, in the resurrection, Paul's saying here, because of the resurrection, you don't have to be in your sins. Because of the resurrection, you can be completely forgiven. When you decide to give yourself to Jesus and you repent and are baptized and give yourself to Him and take Him on as Savior and Lord, your sins are washed away and you are made perfect in the sight of the Father. And you also have hope of overcoming your sins, of overcoming that thing that right now you say, I don't think I could be different. I know what I'm like. I know I always do that or I always think that or I can't give up my bitterness towards that person or I can't. I that's just who I am. And you've gotten comfortable with it. But if you're in Christ, the hope of the resurrection says you don't have to be in your sins because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can bring life to your mortal body by giving you victory over that sin. We live in the hope of the resurrection by battling our sin and by confessing and by working every day to live with the power of the resurrection as we overcome sin through the power of the Spirit. We also live in the power of the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection, by realizing that it's worth it to sacrifice our lives for the kingdom of this resurrected Lord that we call our Savior and Lord. Look at verse 19. Look at how Paul connects his sacrifice with and their sacrifice for the kingdom with the resurrection. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And then look down at verse 30, 32. Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain, humanly speaking? I fought with beasts at Ephesus. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. What's he saying with that? Well, he's saying that Jesus calls his followers to be followers who make other followers. So if you follow Jesus, your main job is not to show up at a building on Sunday. Your main job is to invest your life in other people. So your family, your spouse, your children, another person or two that God's put around you, and guide them to know Jesus. You're supposed to be reading your Bible with other people. You're supposed to be talking to them about Jesus. You're supposed to be giving yourself to guiding them. And that takes sacrifice, time sacrifice, and putting yourself out there sacrifice, and you can get made fun of sacrifice, and I don't think they're going to want to read the Bible with me, and I'm going to get shut down sacrifice. All of the different ways that would just affect your life. We are supposed to sacrifice for living this purpose. And Paul says, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, it makes no sense to sacrifice ourselves for his kingdom, to help other people know him. He's in the tomb. Why would you give up your time? Why would you go, you know, it's tax time. Why would you sit down with your accountant and say, see, I made this much this year, and I could have made this much more if I would have spent this time that I spent, you know, having Bible studies this year with working, generating income, but I didn't. Well, that just looks silly, to not use a stronger word. It's just silly. Why would you do that? Well, because I have hope in the resurrection, because Jesus rose from the dead, and I will rise from the dead, and the people that I'm studying the Bible with will also rise from the dead someday for life or for judgment. And so our sacrificing ourselves for the kingdom is of eternal worth, and we have hope in that, and we live in that hope by not holding on to this life, by giving up our time and our money and our focus and our attention to help other people know Jesus. The last way that the resurrection gives us hope, that we live in the hope of the resurrection, is hope in suffering and hope in dying. He's going to talk about dying, but it's also having hope in all of the things that get us to the point where we pass from this world as our bodies start to decay. In verse 18, those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. He's saying the negative side. He's saying if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then everybody who's a Christian, they're gone. They died without hope. And he's saying that, well, that's not the case. If you believe in Jesus and have put your hope in Jesus, and if you have given yourself to Jesus, you repented and been baptized, you are in Christ. And so as you reach the end of this life, it's not the end of anything. It's the end of what will be the worst part of your eternal existence. And as your body starts to decay and fail you, and as you go through all the things, whatever it looks like in your particular case, that are taking you to the point where you will leave this physical world, well, we have hope in Christ. The resurrection gives us that hope, because in the same way that he rose from the dead with a glorified body, and if you keep reading in 1 Corinthians 15, which I'd love to, but we are out of time, so I'm not going to, but you can do that this afternoon in between. Take a chocolate break and read the rest of 1 Corinthians 15. Listen, we are given a glorified body, and we are raised in power with Jesus. That's hopeful. That this is as bad as my existence is going to be. Well, this, not just now, but until I pass from this earth, that's as bad as my existence is going to be. The rest of eternity will be glorious. I will be with my Father. How do we live in that hope? Well, by not fearing death. And by not fearing death, by not fearing sickness. Do we have to be all happy about sickness and death? No. It's horrible. It's a sign of the broken world in which we live. It's a sign of the consequences of the fall, but should we fear it and lose our minds as we get to the end because we're trying to do everything possible? I just can't die. That will be the end. It won't. It won't if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, it's the beginning of your life face to face with him. And then as we believe this, as we live with this hope from the resurrection, hope starts to invade all of our lives. You remember where we started? We need hope. We're worried and stressful. We manipulate people and we're always on edge. And well, that's because we don't have hope. As we believe in the hope that comes from the resurrection, as we live with that hope, hope starts to invade our lives because we realize that we are God's children or can be God's children. And because of Jesus rising from the dead, we can be happy and we can be peaceful and we can be optimistic and we can always expect the best because we are God's children and we serve the risen Christ. So what should we do? We should live with hope. How do we live with hope? Just to give you something practical to grab onto. If you've never decided to follow Jesus, if you've never made your own personal decision to repent and be baptized and to put your trust in Jesus, then you live with hope. You live with hope by entering into hope. Because when you get to that moment when you say, I'm ready, I want to be God's child, I want to repent and be baptized, I want to give myself to Him, you instantly enter into the hope of a relationship with God, but you receive it over your flesh, over your sin. God gives you His Spirit that will battle against your sinful nature. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you hope eternal. You will be with Him forever. You enter into life and hope when you make that decision to follow Jesus. And if you've already made that decision, what do you grab onto and say, this is how I'm going to live with hope today. This is how I'm going to live with the hope of the resurrection this week. Seek God. Pray and fast and read your Bible, sing to Him as you go through your week. Do it with the certainty of someone who says, I'm God's child. My Father listens to me and He speaks to me through His Word and through His Spirit. Live with hope by fighting your sin, by fighting that persistent sin that you have that you I know I should and I can't. Fight it with the power of the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, and He will give you victory. He will give life to your mortal body. You live with hope if you're a Christian by giving yourself completely to Jesus' work and by guiding the people around you to know Him, by studying your Bible with them and talking with them about Jesus and helping them come to know you. And you do that by sacrificing your time and your money because you know you have hope eternal. It's worth it. Whatever you sacrifice in this life is worth it for the eternity. You live with this hope as you encounter sickness and come close to death by rejoicing in the hope that you have of being with Jesus forever. So, end with a question. How can you live your life with more hope in the resurrection? And whatever answer you have in your mind, do that. Make that part of your life. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we will sing. Jesus, we come to You and we rejoice because You are so good. Thank You, God, for giving us hope. Hope in this life and hope in the coming one. I pray, God, that as we think today about Your resurrection, that You would fill us with more and more of Your hope and help us to live in that hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.